The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
As believers, when our body dies and begins to decay, and we are said to be absent from the body as to be present with the Lord, but glorified bodies come later, do we get an intermediate body in between? An interesting discussion is on tap today. We're glad that you are with us here on Grace in Focus. This is a radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We live in North Texas, and we'd love for you to get to know us better. You can do so at our website, faithalone.org. There you can find out about our subscription-free magazine, also called Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year, is full color, and has great articles, and it is free. You only have to pay for postage if you do not live in the 48 contiguous United States. What a deal. Find out more about it at faithalone.org. Also in our store, Bob Wilkins' latest book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege. Take a look at that as well, faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, let's hear from Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Today we got an interesting question here from Diane. She's asking, I should probably know the answer to this question, but as I thought about it, I realized that I'm not sure. Does the person who enters into God's presence get a temporary body? I know they haven't been raised from the grave yet and that their body is in the ground.
That's a great question, Diane. What she's talking about is in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, Paul says, the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive will be caught up and meet the Lord in the air. The word for caught up in Latin is rapturo, and that's where we get the word rapture. It's the catching up. In Greek, it's harpazo. We get the word harpoon from harpazo. So what it's saying there is before the believers who are alive are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, the believers who are currently dead and in the presence of Jesus in the third heaven, they're glorified first. And then they go with Jesus to the air, and then we meet them in the air. And I take it the air is the first heaven, the area in the clouds above the earth. And so they will rise first. The dead in Christ refers to those who are believers in Jesus who are currently in the third heaven.
So, yeah, Diane brought up something that I hadn't really thought about. The promise of a glorified body doesn't occur till the rapture. So what happens during this intermit period? Do we have any body at all, or are we just a spirit? Or
okay, it's interesting. I read quite a few articles. I have a strong opinion on this, but I read quite a few articles, and people, theologians and pastors are all over the map on this. There's basically an agnostic view, which says we don't know. And we'll find out. And then there's two other views. One view is, no, there's no intermediate body, that when we die, we're simply spirit beings. We're in the presence of the Lord Jesus in the third heaven, and we enjoy him, and we enjoy fellowship with him, but we're invisible. We're not, you know, you can't recognize us. And if we are fellowshipping with other believers, we're doing so invisibly because we don't have any physical presence whatsoever. The other view is no, believers who die have some sort of intermediate body, which we don't know exactly what it is, but they are visible. They're not invisible. They look like what they look like in this life. Now, we don't know if They look like, you know, at the time of their death, like, let's say an 80-year-old dies, so they would look like the 80-year-old except without any gruesome details, you know, if they had some serious injuries, those would go away. But still, they would look like that, or maybe they would look like they were in the prime of life. And I fall into the category that definitely they're visible, they definitely look like they look like in this life, but they do not have a permanent body. And some of the proofs are these. Remember at the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17, I think it's verses 3 and 4. Maybe you could turn there, Mike, and read that for us. But Moses and Elijah appear there. Elijah, of course, never died, but Moses did die. Do you have that?
Yeah. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.
Yeah, and these tabernacles were, you know, they had the Feast of Booths, and they would make these lean-to type things, like a tent or a dwelling place. You might call it a shelter. Well, why would you make a shelter for Moses if Moses is invisible?
Right.
How would you even know it was Moses if he's invisible?
Yeah.
Of course, I don't know how they knew it was Moses even with him being visible. I assume the way they knew it was Moses is because the Lord had identified him as Moses,
right,
or Moses identified himself or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know how they would know this was Elijah either.
Yeah, I guess they had to be identified by someone or by themselves because they don't have photographs in those days.
Now, they could have had name tags. Maybe when you go to be with the Lord, then you get a name tag.
Yeah.
Of course, this was before the ascension of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, Mike, prior to the ascension of Jesus, all of the believing dead were in Sheol, in the saved part of Sheol, or the born-again part of Sheol. We know that from Luke 16, 19 through 31. And you've got Lazarus and Abraham on one side, and you've got this rich man separated by a great chasm, and the rich man's in torment, and Abraham and Lazarus are in joy. That was before the ascension. When Jesus ascended, he took all of the believing dead out of Sheol and transported them to third heaven. As far as we can tell, there were only two humans in the third heaven prior to that time, and that would be Enoch and Elijah, because they never died. And they were taken to the third heaven in a whirlwind, along with a flaming chariot that was going by them. Those two were there. But in any regard, we first of all, the one proof we have is Moses. He looks like Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that the Grace Evangelical Society offers an MDiv degree through our online seminary? And tuition is free to those who maintain a 3.0 grade average. It is a 3-year degree program, and you could submit your application now to gain acceptance. Then stay apprised of our registration periods for upcoming semester terms. Program and application details can be found at gesseminary.org. Have a look at our MDiv degree. Become an approved workman. Find out how. gesseminary.org.
The second proof, and I think maybe you can look it up, I think it's 1 Samuel 28. Look there, Mike, and see. It's where King Saul goes and visits this medium, or she's also called the witch at Endor. King Saul wants to talk to Samuel, but Samuel's been dead for several years. Did you find the verse?
Yes, I did. 1 Samuel 28, and I'll start reading here at verse 11. This is the woman, or the witch from Endor. Then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" And he said, "Bring up Samuel for me." When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." And the king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What did you see?" And the woman said to Saul, "I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth." So he said to her, "What is his form?" And she said, "An old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle."
Okay, so then Samuel actually talks to Saul, right?
Right. He says, "Now Samuel said to Saul, 'Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?'"
Okay, now he's coming up from Sheol, which suggests, by the way, that Sheol is in the center of the earth, and it was always a coming up, regardless of where you are on the planet. It's always coming up. But in any regard, he looks like an old man. Now, she does call him a spirit.
Yeah.
But yet she sees a body. And in his case, he looks like an old man. So, and he's got a mantle.
And Saul recognized him. Saul perceived that it was Samuel.
Right. Yeah. And they have a conversation.
Right.
So whatever this intermediate body is, it's something which is recognizable. And I would argue it's also tangible, because if you go to the Luke 16, 19 to 31 passage, that's where the rich man says he wants Lazarus to dip his finger in water and come touch my tongue, because I'm in torment here in these flames. What verse is that? Around 24 or something?
Yeah, verse 24. Then he cried out and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame."
Now, some people think that this is a parable and that this never really historically happened. Maybe. But there's no other parable of all of Jesus's parables that has a proper name. And this one has two proper names, Lazarus and Abraham.
Right.
It would be exceedingly odd to have a parable and you're actually having two proper names, one of which is Abraham, and you've got this whole dialogue going on between Abraham and the rich man. And so it seems to me this isn't a parable. This actually occurred at some point, and Lazarus has a body, and Abraham has a body because he's reclining on Abraham's chest, and Abraham has a body, and Abraham can see the rich man, and the rich man can see Lazarus. So they're not invisible. They have real bodies. All of this suggests to me there's some sort of intermediate body. Now, is the intermediate body tangible? It sure sounds like it in Luke 16 because he talks about dipping his finger and this sort of thing. So I would suggest the body is in some way tangible, but it's not the permanent body. It's just some sort of temporary body. And I would say that the believers who are currently in the third heaven recognize one another. They enjoy fellowship with one another. I've read some people who say what they do all the time is they're in the presence of Jesus and they worship Jesus. I find that hard to grasp. Because there's certainly millions or tens of millions or hundreds of millions of people in the third heaven, right?
Right.
Well, Jesus is in one place in one time in his body. You can't have 100 million people or 10 million people that are within a few feet of Jesus. Some of those people are going to be hundreds of miles away or a mile away or something. They're just not all going to be right there in his presence. Maybe over the course of time, they could all be around him. But I think what believers are currently doing is they're enjoying fellowship with one another. And guess what? I think they probably pray. And I guess they probably pray for us.
Yeah.
Instead of us praying for them, they're praying for us. Now, wouldn't it make sense? If you're a parent, you'd be praying for your kids. If you're someone that discipled people, you would pray for your disciples.
Do you think they're able to see what's happening here on earth at this time?
I don't think so, but I still think they would pray for us. I mean, it would make sense.
Right.
They're conscious. They're aware. So anyway, Diane, great question. And yes, I believe that the departed believers have some sort of intermediate body, a temporary body. They're enjoying fellowship with other believers, and they can recognize one another.
All right. Thank you for this discussion. And remember,
keep grace in focus.
Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, Departing from the Faith in 1 Timothy 4:1. What does that mean? Please join us. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.